Moncrief on News Talk.
In public areas, cutting the grass can be a big job, and afterwards, there's the question of where all the cut grass goes. But there is a more graceful alternative to noisy power motors. You can hire a load of goats. William Walsh is the founder of Billy's Rent-A-Go. Good afternoon, William.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you getting on?
Not too bad. How many goats do you have?
I have 23 goats, Sean.
Right. And would they? What's the mixture between male and female within that?
What I have basically, Sean, so what I did is that I repurposed males solely for education and land management. And the proportion really is I have two females and the rest of them are males. So, look, they're all former dairy goats, so Toggenburg and Sanant, and they're all being solely repurposed then for ethical land management.
All right, okay. And so how does it work if somebody hires your goats? Do you presumably have to go out and do a recce to see how much area they want?
Yeah, so look, every area isn't suitable. Look, it, first and foremost is the welfare of the goat, no matter where what you do or where you go, you know. So it has to be right for the goat, first and foremost. Then the second thing is that we look at the site. Is there anything poisonous there? Is there anything to do with health and safety, whether it's for me or for the goats? And then, you know, all that done, you know, the site analysis is done and a recommendation to the customer is given, you know, so.
Right. Okay. And wouldn't necessarily be using all the goats, depending on how big the area was, I assume.
No. Look, what I use 8 goats. So I have 2 groups of 8 and 1 group of 7, and it's all manageable for one person. So look, it took me a year and a half. Takes me a year and a half to kind of train the goats, bring them into an area, and bring them back out of the area. So it all has to be managed in that sense. And they have to listen to, you know, commands like going into site, transporting and everything else. So there is time spent in doing that as well, you know. So, it's just for ease of use, really, you know. And you're able to monitor the site a lot better with less animals on it as well, especially when you're doing conservation grazing. You're able to kind of assess the site as well too, a lot easier, and spend time on the site rather than So.
And when you train them, is it to kind of they're trained so you can get them smoothly to the area you want to get them to? Because I assume the actual grass eating bit, you know, comes naturally to them.
Yeah, well, they're actually not grass eaters as such.
Huh.
They improve grasslands, so they're foragers, so they eat things from the top down. So they're fantastic for eating invasive species like old man's beard, for example, which is Clematis vine growing, and they just rip everything down. So they manage it that first, you know, and then they move to lower stuff down. So they'll actually take all the seeds off. So you manage it in that sense from the time of the year. So when it goes into seed or goes into flower for invasive species, you target that first. And it's just a management tool for that then, you know, so.
Okay, and would they ignore the grass altogether, or is it mostly kind of hedgerows and stuff that they work around?
Well, no hedgerows, no. Basically,
Sean, they're fierce fussy, these goats.
they are really fussy. So, my first initiative isn't actually to deal with invasive issue. It's a whole collective thing. So, I'm on nationwide now soon. So what I was doing there is a community project dealing with invasives. But what we were doing is getting children out, getting them reconnected to nature, talking about the goats and using the goats as an intermediary to educate kids then about the environment around them. And because it's beside a river area, we can't spray these invasive species, which are eroding the riverbanks. We can bring in goats to manage that then, you know, and do a management plan then afterwards, you know. So it's just not the goats, it's everything with it as well.
Of course, yeah. Of course. And as William said, we'll be on Nationwide on RT1 tomorrow at 7 p.m. So, and I suppose this may be how long is a piece of string question, but how long would it take them, you know, if someone hires one of your herds to tidy up an area, how long can that take?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that either. So, look, I'm fully booked for the foreseeable future. So
wow.
I'm fully booked out. Look, I started off during COVID. And, you know, it's work in progress. People told me I couldn't do it. How does it work and everything? And it's just evolved this way. So, and it has evolved not to doing half an acre or doing your front garden. It has evolved into more of a community and education and conservation grazing. That's how it has evolved. So if you have the half an acre, I won't be able to do it. But what I'm also looking for is for other people to do it around the country as well. And it is a good career to have, and, you know, and it's a special project to take on, you know. So.
And you've proved it, you know, that it can work. Goats are herds. Would they, in terms of the kind of power dynamic there, is there a leader or how does that work?
Yeah, the madman with the beard. So that's myself. So basically, they're a herd animal. They have a leader. Usually, they're matriarchal, so they'll follow the female lead, and the rear guard, as I call it, would be the billy. So, and everything is in between. Then, so you have a hierarchy in between. But they usually look to me then for guidance. So that's and security and everything else.
Oh, right, yeah. And can the matriarch leader, can that change? Do they get challenged or?
No, not as such. No, I haven't come across it. But I can imagine in the long term things, it could be, you know, as animals get older and everything. But I suppose being out in nature, I suppose the female has built up all this experience. So they do look for a leader in the older female, you know. So,
yeah. And in between projects, are they kind of lying on their backs going, please don't feed us anymore? Or, you know, I assume you have to give them breaks in between kind of thing.
Yeah. So look, like three herds, I have three small herds. One rests in between all the time. You know, so like, you know, so they go home, they have a rest, you know, and semi-urban projects, they go home every night. So it's not full time. And, you know, it gives me a bit of a break as well, too, you know, so can't be going all the time, you know. So
And presumably you're just operating in the south of the country at the moment.
I'm just operating. I started off actually operating throughout the whole country, but it's just the demand. I just couldn't keep up with it. I'm just doing a 40-kilometer radius. But throughout the whole country, I get demand. So you could get anything from, say, 5 emails a week to 25 during the summer from all different county councils to heritage officers to biodiversity officers around the country, and also private as well, you know.
So if somebody wanted to set up a similar project, what would be your minimum amount of goats you'd have to start with?
I would say 8. And and that's a very manageable number for anyone who's solely taking that up. Like, you could go big, but I'd rather do things right. And you would always, you know, keep everything small, especially when it comes to, you know, managing them and being around kids as well, if you're doing community projects and stuff like that as well.
Right, okay.
So there's the whole training of that as well, going back to the year and a half of what I was talking about. You know, you're getting used to people, dogs, situations and everything else.
William, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was William Walsh there, founder of Billy's Rent-A-Goat. And as we were saying there, he will be on Nationwide on RT Television tomorrow night.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.